out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 28th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, I was lucky enough to attend a Nationalist meeting at the weekend that was most inspirational and positive. Lots of good people there. Met lots of new people. I should say hello to Angela, Jordan, Ralph, Tony, a doctor from Newcastle, Peter. There were also a lot of well-known people there, Richard Edmonds, Steve Frost and Benny Bullman from the Under the Sunwheel podcast, which we will actually be playing tonight in the usual slot where we have Arian Britannia. Because I was at this Nationalist meeting, we were unable to record an episode of that this weekend. But as I say, we do have Under the Sunwheel, which is an excellent podcast, an excellent British podcast that I do recommend people check out. So we'll be playing that at 8 o'clock tonight, British time, 3 o'clock American time. Who else was there? Max Musson was there. Mark Cullett was there. Good to see him again. And it was very positive. There were about 50 people there. It was a very, very good turnout, no trouble whatsoever. Everyone there was very dedicated. A lot of people there with a lot of experience talking about the state of the country, what's going on politically with Brexit, the yellow vest phenomena in France and how that seems to be taking off in Britain, and the success of the populists, the success of groups like UKIP and Tommy Robinson, and how we all need to be doing whatever we can to help out. When we see a movement or a party that is similarly aligned to us, they don't have to be fully aligned with what we want. Just if they're advocating for a slowdown in immigration or a slowdown in the Islamification of the country, then we should be not be fighting with these people. We should be doing what we can to help these people out. A lot of the time, civic nationalists are not ethno-nationalists because they don't have the full information. They don't have the information that we have. And if we reach out to them, if we form relationships with them, help them out with their movements, then they're going to be exposed to the information that we have, which is what we want. We want people to be fully aware of the dangers of race mixing and the existential threat that it poses. I mean, immigration poses an existential threat to the white race. And a lot of these civic nationalists don't understand that. They think that that we all come from Africa or that we all evolved from the same human being anyway, so it doesn't matter if there's interbreeding and people will just go back to being white again, which of course we know isn't actually physically, biologically possible. So if we can work with these people, then that's going to be a net positive. It doesn't mean that we give up on the 14 words. It doesn't mean that we're compromising on any of our principles at all. It means that we recognise that that there are a lot of people that want to do something about the problems that the country has, the problems that the nation has, and we should be helping them to do what they can. not everybody is going to be a white nationalist. Not everybody is going to believe in our beliefs. But that doesn't mean that they're enemies. If they're white and they're trying to do what they can for the country, stop the immigration, stop the Islamification, then they're good people at heart. And we shouldn't be trying to cause problems for them or trying to fall out with them. We have to be the bigger man on this as well. We have to be the guys that don't respond when they attack us, when they call us fascists, when they call us Nazis, which they will do. We just have to exercise some self-restraint and not respond by attacking them back. Maybe respond politely, but maybe suggest that the reason why they're saying that is because they don't actually have the full information on what the National Socialists did and what they were. Or maybe you could suggest that they study the last century's history again. Look at the alternative history. Look at the war from the German side. Research that, and then maybe they might not think that the Nazis were the most evil people in the world. Maybe then they might not think that the fascists were the most evil people in the world. Say to them, look, we're not ethno-nationalists because we think they're the most evil people on the planet. We obviously have information that the civic nationalists aren't aware of. Otherwise, we wouldn't be following ethno-nationalism, would we? And we need to show them that we're decent people. We're good people that can be relied upon. So I was very pleased to hear that was the general feeling. And there was people there from National Front, from BNP, from all organisations. So yeah, it was excellent. Definitely put me in a good mood for 2019 anyway. Okay, let's get into some of these new stories that I've got for us today. First one is about discrimination against whites. A fire service has been accused of discrimination after it was claimed that white men have to score higher in recruitment tests than women and people from ethnic minorities. When applying for a role at the West Midlands Fire Service, they have to score 70% in a verbal and numerical reasoning test to get through to the next round. That's what it should be. That's what it should be. That's what white men are being held to. White men are having to score 70% before they get through to the next round. But women and people from black, Asian and other minority ethnic groups only need to get 60%. And this isn't the first time that we've heard of this. It's also going on in the universities, in the STEM subjects, in mathematics, in science. Women and ethnic minorities are getting an extra 15 minutes in the exam times. We know that also in the universities, they are accepting black and minority ethnic students that have lower scores, because that's the only way that they can get them into the university. They can't get them in there on merit because they don't make the standard. Why don't they make the standard? Because they're not the same as white people. Because they're different races. Different races have different abilities. And academic ability is not something that comes naturally to Negroes, for example. It does come naturally to Chinese and Japanese. The higher IQ parts of their population, they can. In actual fact, they have a higher average IQ than white people do. But blacks have a much lower IQ. And if you end up lowering the standards so they get into universities, you just end up lowering the average standard of everybody there at the university. And in an instance like this, where you're talking about firemen, you want people that are the brightest. You want people that are the strongest. You don't want women to be coming in to try and rescue you from a burning building. How is a woman going to put a man over her shoulder who's passed out and carry them out of a building? They're not going to be able to. Women have a third less body strength than men do. And you're going to want the brightest, quickest, most intelligent people, not people that only score 60% on their test. just so that the fire service can tick the boxes and say, well, we're a very diverse fire service here. How does that help the fire service to have people that are of a lower standard? It doesn't help the fire service. Bosses are also spending £2,500 a month on Facebook adverts targeted specifically at women, a whistleblower has claimed. Do you imagine if you were to target an advert specifically at men? We want men to apply for this job. Women need not apply. There would be an absolute uproar over that. We're supposed to have a merit-based society, but we no longer have a merit-based society. If you're an ethnic minority, if you're female, if you're a sexual minority, then you apparently have more merit than everybody else. The source, who did not want to be named, said the recruitment program introduced in late 2017 costs £100,000 a year. This directly discriminates against white men, he said. Not only are they discriminating against large parts of my community, but they are also using huge amounts of public money to do so. And this has also been done at the BBC. There are adverts there for black and minority ethnics. Only black and minority ethnics need to apply. We've seen this happen in the police as well. They're even calling for blacks with criminal records to be allowed to join the police. Have you ever heard of police being able to join that are actually criminals? But again, that's the only way that they can get blacks into the police force, because they have four times more likely to carry out crimes than white people are. Is that going to change if they're wearing a policeman's uniform? It's not going to change. Just look at the police force in Africa and see how corrupt that is. If you want to see the way that the British police force is going to be in 10 years' time, if they continue with their drive towards diversity, we'll probably see the same corruption in the fire service. You'll end up having to pay to be rescued. You'll end up having to pay a little bit of backsheesh before the firemen will come and put out the fire in your house. You might even have set fire to it themselves. That's not out of the realms of possibility. It's not fair on the members of the community who rightly expect the best people for the job will be selected to serve on the front line. It's difficult to swallow knowing people have not been able to achieve their dream careers because they are too white or too male. And this is the other part of it. It's not just the lowering of standards. It's that the people that are best suited for the role are being turned away. They're on the dole. They're on the unemployment. And the people that don't actually have the qualifications to be doing the job, they're the ones that are being taken on. The fire service, one of the biggest in the country, wants 60% of new recruits to be women and 35% to be from black and minority ethnic groups by 2021, a leaked memo showed. That's 95%. 95% of the recruits cannot be white men. The people that are actually best suited to be firemen, they don't want. They want the people that are least suited to be firemen. They want people that can't actually pass the tests to be firemen. And they think this is going to improve the fire service. The source claimed that in a bid to reach the target, the pass rate has been altered to make it easier for people from those groups to get through the test. Candidates who pass the first stage of the recruitment process, a 45-minute test of their reactions, are then sent a link to the numerical, verbal, and mechanical reasoning exam. But since the change, white men have to score 7 out of 10 to get through to the next stage, a physical test, while women and black and minority ethnic candidates only have to score 6. So they only have to get 60% in a numerical, verbal, and mechanical reasoning exam. Mechanical reasoning is exactly what you need. In a situation, you're pressed for time and you've got to work out the best way to do something. And they're saying you only need to have 60%. And the people that are best suited to be doing this, the sort of people that would be getting 95% on this exam, they're not allowed to do it. It's ridiculous. A spokesman for West Midlands Fire Service said, "The approaches we take for recruitment and selection are carefully considered to ensure that they are appropriate, balanced, and above all, legal." So it's perfectly legal to discriminate against white men like this. And yet we're told that white men are the oppressors, and this is a patriarchy that we live under. We don't live under a patriarchy. This is Big Sister. This is Big Sister. Everything has become feminated. Everything that the state does can be analysed as being feminine. And not feminine as in attractive and attractive to men, but the worst traits that females have. Materialistic. Deceitful. Thinking that it's perfectly fine to do something like this because emotions are more important than logic. I mean, those things are all of benefit. If you're a mother and you're bringing up a child, you want somebody that's good at being deceitful. You want somebody that's going to say that little Johnny's picture is amazing when it's not. You want somebody that's tuned in to emotions rather than logic for raising children. But as far as working in male jobs, in the business world, in political world, no, you don't want women doing this. And the state has become like that now. The state is being used to go against, to police people's opinions based on emotion and logic. No longer is it important if somebody's opinion is the truth or not. What's important is whether it offends anybody. And that's a completely female way of looking at things. So the state is not, it's not a patriarchy that we live under. If we lived under a patriarchy, there is no way that something like this would be legal, where instead of getting the job based on merit, you get the job based on what genitals you've got or what race you are. And this is what we were told before. We were told, oh, it's all white supremacy, white privilege. People only have jobs because they're white. No, it's not. It's the other way around. People are denied jobs because they're white. West Midlands Fire Service is committed to having a workforce which reflects the diversity of the population of all our communities and one that is welcoming to all. What is the point of that? What is the point of having a fire service that reflects the diversity of the population? What if your population was all midgets? Would it be better to have a fire service made of midgets, or would it be better to have a fire service made of 6 foot tall, super strong white blokes? Obviously, it's going to be better to have a fire service made of the strongest, brightest people. Doesn't it? What about if the population in the community is disabled? Are you going to have disabled firemen? Would that make sense? None of this makes any sense. He says, "We are working hard to break down barriers faced by people who could bring so much to our service and to their community." What are blacks going to bring to it, apart from the fact that they're black? What is the difference? If what colour the fireman is, you want somebody who has the best ability. If they're a fireman, if there are black people that want to be firemen and they score 70, and they're on the same level as white people that score 70, fair enough, they're going to be just as good as the white people at doing the job. But they're not. What positive benefit is this going to bring to the service, apart from them being able to say, well, we're very diverse, we're not racist? And in actual fact, they are racist. They're being racist against white people, and they're being sexist against men. They're being misandric. Misandry is hateful towards men. This is a misandric operation that's going on here, an anti-white misandry in the West Midlands Fire Service. Well, the next news story that I've got concerns a German rescue agency. Now, whatever we may say about Britain and America, it's always 10 times worse in Germany with what the left is able to get away with in Germany. Just for instance, just recently, the assassination attack on Frank Magnitz and the blowing up of the AFD offices, and the German state's response to that is to put the AFD under surveillance. And what we've got here, we've got one of these rescue agencies that goes out to rescue the invaders from the Mediterranean. They're putting out adverts suggesting that Germans marry Negroes so that they have the right to stay in Europe. A German rescue agency has come under fire for appearing to suggest that people marry migrants to give them the right to live in Europe. Dresden-based migrant relief organisation Mission Lifeline posted a controversial tweet on Wednesday last week asking single people to partner up with those who do not have the right to stay here. You're not married yet? Maybe you could fall in love with someone who doesn't have the right to stay here. Could happen, right? Stay open, the agency tweeted to its 19,000 strong following. In a later tweet, they added, if you're happy, think of people fleeing. It will make you even happier to do something good. So what they're suggesting there is that people just marry immigrants so that they can be given citizenship. Leave aside the race mixing that could go on there, and the fact that that means taking away a child's right to have ancestors, a child's right to look like its parents, look like its mother, and have a biological connection to its ancestors. Just take away that, and just think of the illegal side of this. And if they're not actually in love and they're just marrying to get people into the country, that's totally illegal. These sham marriages, these scam marriages. We're often reading about investigations into how these people traffickers work like that, and they pay people in Britain, pay people in Germany to marry non-whites so that they can stay in the country. And this is openly being done by one of these big NGOs. Mission Lifeline's tweet instantly drew fire from political figures throughout Germany. Christian Democrat politician Philipp Anthor, 26, told newspaper Bild.de that the agency was clearly trying to thwart immigration law. This absurd call for entering marriages shows clearly that these sea rescues in fact pursue a much larger agenda, Anthor said. They want to thwart our immigration law with their left-wing ideology and lead our constitutional state by the nose. See, this is because they're now having problems bringing these invaders in, because Italy has refused to take any more. And populist parties are rising all over Europe that are saying this has got to stop. But the NGO's co-founder rejected the idea that the tweet was about marriage, saying instead that it encouraged people to show love towards migrants. It was merely a call for donations for sea rescues, he said. It doesn't sound like it, though, does it? Sounds like it's a call for white people to marry black. The charity, founded in 2016, has previously seen its ship Lifeline rejected when it tried to enter an Italian port in 2018 carrying over 200 migrants. Lifeline eventually had to wait 6 days before it was allowed to dock in Malta after international outcry over its treatment in Italy. And I think what that actual ship may have been is the one that Matteo Salvini is now being accused of kidnapping, because Salvini refused to allow this ship to dock in Italy. He's now been charged with kidnapping, as if these illegal immigrants had some kind of a right to the benefits of being in Italy. And by him not allowing them into Italy, he's now been charged with kidnapping. This is how our laws have been turned against us. And just to give an idea of what these people are like, these NGOs that are working with the people traffickers to rescue them and bring their cargoes into Europe, this is the sort of mentality that the people traffickers have that they're working with. According to Italian newspaper Il Giornale, the Italian secret services are warning of the possibility of people smugglers purposely causing a disaster at sea in order to garner sympathy from the West and resume the flow of migration. See, these people's lives have such little value that they couldn't care less if the ship overturned at sea, because it would mean that more rescue boats were sent out and they could then have more customers, make more money sending these people into Europe. And these NGOs go along with that. That's who these NGOs are working with. Such a move could be a repeat of other major humanitarian disasters, such as a shipwreck which killed around 700 migrants on April the 18th, 2015, and led to the commencement of Operation Sophia and an outpouring of support for migrant ferry NGOs operating in the Mediterranean Sea. According to some of the few migrants who survived the incident, people smugglers had forced the migrants to set sail, knowing full well that the weather had been gale force winds, leading some to speculate that the disaster was sought or even caused on purpose by the smugglers. The ship eventually sank, killing most of the migrants on board, after colliding with the Portuguese container ship King Jacob. And this is what started these rescue attempts, bringing these invaders into Europe, was this ship capsizing. And it may well have been caused by them. And the left will try and say, well, we've got to go out there and rescue these people. But if we didn't go out to rescue them, if we did pick them up and just took them straight back to Libya, they would stop doing it. They wouldn't leave in these boats. That's the only way that this can be stopped, is if you just take them back to the port that they came from. And you know, a lot of people would suggest that they should be treated as enemy vessels and they should be torpedoed. And again, that would dissuade them from coming. They don't really understand. They don't know how to navigate to Europe anyway. They just push off in one of these boats and with just enough fuel to get 5 miles, 10 miles out of Libya. And then they call for a rescue ship to come and pick them up. The Italian publication has also revealed inconsistencies in recent days from the Alarm Phone organization, which acts as a hotline for ships in distress in the Mediterranean, saying the NGO claimed a ship had been taken in water when other evidence proved it had not been in danger of sinking. So they've got a hotline here. These people traffickers can just call a hotline and the NGO ship arrives and then tows them into Europe. And it's a huge scam that they've got going here. It was also alleged that the man steering the ship, which was rescued last Sunday, has been a suspected people smuggler, but the NGO denied having any contact or cooperation with people traffickers. Of course they do. The accusation is not the first time migrant rescue NGOs have been said to be working with the people smugglers. Italian prosecutors have alleged cooperation between the two groups as well, and in one case, even released evidence to the public. So we should be on the lookout for another tragedy at sea, basically. I'm surprised they haven't had one in the English Channel, because I think that's fast turning into a new route for these people to take. They know that Sajid Javid has brought three new rescue ships into the channel to help ferry these people ashore. I haven't heard anything about them being taken back over to France yet, but this is still going on. And this is the way that these people traffickers operate. They know that white people are gullible. They know that we have a sense of guilt. They play on our guilt. I listened to an interesting podcast the other day suggesting the reasons actually for this guilt. The reasons for this guilt is the sexual revolution and sexual liberation. And because people have taken sex out from our traditional moral law, everybody's feeling guilty. So because we're feeling guilty, these non-whites step in and they trade on that. And they say, you're feeling guilty because we're dying in the sea. Or the Jews say, you're feeling guilty because you holocausted us. And the real reason for our sense of guilt is because we've taken sex out of the natural order, where it's not something just for pleasure. It's the creation of a child. And because we've taken it out of the natural order, we now suffer from the guilt from that. And I'm indebted to Dr. E. Michael Jones for producing that theory. But because we have this guilt, and they know we have this guilt, they play upon that. And they're quite happy to throw their own people into the sea and watch them drown. That's how little value they place on Negroes' lives. I mean, these people enslaved one another for millennia. And that was the only way they had of trading. That was the only way they had of creating some kind of merchandise, was just creating their own children and them selling them on. Of course, they don't care about some of them drowning in the sea. And the gullible white man who sees all races as the human race sees it as if it's his own family that drowned in the sea. And they're not our family. They're the responsibility of the Africans. They're not our responsibility. We should just be turning their boats around and taking them back to Africa. You have no right to be in Europe. And the traitors in the UN and the traitors in the EU, they're quite open about what they're doing. They're quite open about replacement level migration. They want to replace white people with black and brown people. Just go look at the UN website about migration and read all the nonsense about white people not producing enough to replace ourselves. So we'll just replace the non-existent white babies with Negroes, as if blacks could ever be a substitute for whites, as if whites could be a substitute for blacks. We want the world to retain its diversity. White nationalists want the world to retain its diversity. We want white people to stay white. We want black people to stay black, and we want yellow people to stay yellow. And we want everyone to have their own country and have sovereignty over that country and have an ethnically homogenous country. The non-whites have that. It's only white people that don't. Diversity and multiculturalism only happens in white countries. Why is that? Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.